Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. Y'all about ready to get started?
I put it in the plywood for a while, and I just thought we had it. We're going over the edge.
Okay. We're trying something new. I subscribe to Blog Talk Radio, and I used to be on it. What I like about it, people from Australia, Indonesia, Brazil, Alaska, France have listened in over the years. So I subscribed again, and so we'll try that, and plus it's on Facebook. So we want to pray for Robert.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be getting that surgery tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he's good to go.
Yep.
And we need to pray for him because everybody I've known that has had it, anybody in here has had it? You've had it? Well, you look like you're doing pretty good.
Yeah,
a lot of folks have a lot of complications.
Well, that's that gastro bypass thing. It always makes you look like you get you age 20 years. But the sleeve, the good thing about it is that if it, something happens and it doesn't work, it's reversible.
Okay.
So that's the good thing. You know, it's a lesser of three evils.
Ah.
So that's the last thing too, that Sandy has, so she has greater control.
I've seen a few like that. Hey, Miss Sue. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. We want to cover a lot of ground, hopefully. And, of course, I'm excited about it. It's my opportunity to share the gospel and to encourage others to in their faith in Jesus. So we're going to go over Genesis 8 through 17 first. And you have that right there on your handout. We got to pray yet. I wear my favorite hat when I was of the Navy, I guess I'd say. I was air crew. And because I was air crew, I was able to see a lot of the world. And had some good times, went to some good places. And the Navy has always been good to me and Carol. It was when I was on active duty, and we were transferred to Virginia Beach, Virginia, that we come to know the Lord as our Savior. And so other things the Navy has done for us. I mean, right after we got married, we went on a three-year honeymoon paid for by the Navy, stationed up in Seattle, Washington. And this is Veterans Month, and Veterans Day was fun. I went around and got as much of that free food I could get. I got a free car wash, and so I spent the day going around these different places. A lot of them gave you takeout, so I wasn't stuffing myself, but I'm still eating it. So, well, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Yes, ma'am.
Sandra Fallon. She's the one who lost her husband to the Gator.
Right. How is she?
They had this award.
Okay.
Because I kept looking at him.
Excuse me.
He had enough people that were supposed to have been called.
Might have been Friday.
Okay, let's have a word of prayer when we get started. Father, we thank you for your mercy, your love, your grace, your long-suffering, you're a lot more intelligent, wise, and powerful than we are. And I thank you for your word. And I thank you how you explain things in your word for us to have confidence in you because of the world we live in and how much they hate you, hate your word, hate your people. And we thank you that we can have comfort in our word, your word. And I pray for this time together and that we'll bring out things that will be helpful to those that are here, that those that are listening and will listen. I pray, Father, for Ms. Sandler. Comfort her at this time of her loss and the family members, that she would be comforted by you and that this would lead her to you, if not or closer to you. And I pray for Brother Robert. I pray for surgery. I pray to be a success. I pray you be with the doctors and all involved, that they will be submitted to you and you will oversee the surgery and the recovery for Brother Robert. He knows that he needs this, and so we pray that this will make him live longer, healthier, and more productive for the kingdom of God. And I pray for Anna. I pray for her. She's be comforted from at this time losing her sister and also the family as they're involved, as they're really perplexed as things are happening. And again, I pray that you lead and guide in our time of fellowship here around your word. May you be exalted and better understood because of this. Now we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I told you about that lady, her brother died, and she, I had a chance to witness to her. Now, if she went over to Houston to get her brother's remains, and while she was going over there, her sister died in Arizona, I think in Phoenix. And so, I mean, you know, I just pray that this just brings her closer to the Lord and that she'll surrender to him for comfort and for salvation. So let's go ahead and let's read this. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is, which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and gold of that land is good. I ain't never seen no gold that's bad, but, you know, maybe this was bought gold. I don't know. Yeah. and the gold of it was good. And there is Bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river was Gihon. The same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So this is a pretty important portion of scripture here. Well, we got verse 8. I looked at the definition of Eden in the Jewish sense, and it's called the region of Adam's home. So that was Adam's first home, Eden. And it was a pleasurable place, and he lived very voluptuously. That means very abundantly. And it was also called the house of pleasure. So Adam's first home, it looks very nice. Eden must have been you couldn't compare it to anything on earth today. Verse 9, it says to delight in, that is it's pleasant. So the tree of life was alive. Hence it was raw, fresh, strong. So the tree of life gave you life. It revived you. Like we said before, probably Adam and Eve could go over there and eat a little bit, and we take all this medicine now and everything. Eat a little bit and be revived. Then it says the tree of good and evil. Now, evil's evil. To spoil, literally by breaking to pieces. So evil is something that will spoil. It will break things into pieces to make or to be good for nothing. That is bad physically, socially, and morally. So that's what evil. And that tree was there. And I'll go into evil a little bit more. But what I like to say now is Eve wasn't around yet, according to this. We get to learn about Eve in a few verses. And the reason I'm saying this is that this is my interpretation is that Eve wasn't there and Adam became a Pharisee right off the bat. Because when Eve took the fruit, she says, no, we're not supposed to touch the tree. Well, God didn't tell Adam not to touch it. He said, don't eat it. But being Adam, a good Pharisee, he had to make the word of God and the law of God, twist it, make it harder to obey. And Satan took that little twist and he tempted Eve with it. Now, but I think that's what Adam did. He says, look, sweetheart, you're so beautiful and everything. I want to take care of you and everything. One thing I want you to know, don't touch that tree. And don't even get close to it. And I believe that's what Adam did, trying to protect his wife. Now, that's just my interpretation. But we'll see. But the thing is, Adam, he willfully sinned. he knew. I mean, he was here when God told him, don't eat of that thing. And so he willfully sinned. He knew better. He knew what was to do. And so he was the one that was more at fault, if we can say that. And, of course, then, like men do today, they blame their wives for everything. How about
that? That song, 100 Pounds of Clay, came on this week. I've never really listened to the words of that, other than 100 pounds of that. It was interesting.
That's all she weighed, huh? 100 pounds. Okay, let's see. And so evil. Evil is simply disobedience to God's will. It could be legal in our society, which is there's a lot of things in our culture and society that are disobedient to God's will. And they're not called evil. God's will is therefore participated in or experimental knowledge of evil. So we have no problem with that being lived today. Man already had knowledge of good. All he had seen and experienced was good. The rejection of God's word would necessarily convey knowledge of evil to him. So that's how basic it was. And I cannot fathom anything is just good, not knowing any evil. And just knowing good without any evil mixed with it. We were watching, I don't know if y'all ever watched this thing on Netflix called Made. You watch that? It's a true story about a girl who's a maid, but she's a young girl on welfare, and she's going to classes to learn how to take care of her child and be a good yada yada, so she can get a child back. The courts took away from her. And they were saying that, well, you know, talking about the little babies, that they don't know anything bad, You're the example to them, and so you're the reason that they're bad. And so, you know, and that's believed. My brother, who's a therapist, he believes that you're born with an empty slate. You're not bent toward good or evil. It's just whatever you experience. Some of that's true, but we are born sinners. We are born with evil conditioning, let's say. David said, "Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Now, Adam and Eve were not conceived. They were in this state of, it's more than innocence. I mean, it's purity, and it's awesome. Okay, let's see. Partaking of the forbidden fruit would therefore surely give Adam knowledge of good and evil, as well as the difference between them in the most intensely real way. Rejecting God's love would necessarily raise a barrier between man and God and would break the sweet fellowship of which man was created. And that's the most important thing. We were created to have fellowship with God. And that's why God created us, so that he could love his creation, and his creation would respond. And that was us. And that is us. Okay. Since God was the source of life itself, real life is found only in communion and connection with divine life. So the essence of death, the opposite of life, is therefore separation from God. The opposite of fellowship with God, is therefore separation from God, the opposite of fellowship with God. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that's what happened. Adam lost fellowship with God like he had before. Now, as believers, we can go back and get back into that fellowship with God through the new birth, through being born again, and the Holy Spirit being imparted to us as a down payment of our relationship with God. And that's what the earnest of our expectation, as it says in Ephesians. Verse 17, Hebrews says, the way they say it, but if the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Another way of saying that is dying, thou shalt die. And I think I like that because as soon as they ate of the fruit, they started to die. And they were dying. And the ultimate was they did die. Now, it was 900 years later for Adam. I don't know how long Eve lived for 900 years. But you can see it was a less polluted world like it is today. The moment Adam disobeyed God, the principle of decay and death would begin to operate in his body, and finally this would overcome the built-in metabolic processes, and he would go back to the dust from which his body was formed. Even though he spiritually and in principle, physically, the very day he rejected and disobeyed the word of God, and this same type of act is the basis and root of all sin from that day to this. And that's it. So we were born to die. But when you're born again, that spiritual death is taken away. And we start to live again and be alive again, because life is with fellowship with God and loving God and letting him love you. And that's one thing that I've learned, that we have to let God love us. We have to let him. We come up, well, I come up with all kinds of, you can't love me because I thought this, or I did this, or I have done this. How can you love somebody like that? Well, that's arrogance. That's pride. And you just need to confess it as sin, or I need to confess it as sin, and say, hey, yeah, God, that sin, my arrogance, my pride, that how could you love somebody as bad as me? and that I accept your love. And thanks. Thank you. You know, and so that's sometimes I think about, and that's a problem right there. I think about myself too much and the sins that I've committed, and then I find myself going through these feeling sorry for myself. So look at the next one. Havilah. Now let me ask you this. What is one of the most favorite city that people call they name their children at birth? Y'all know? Austin. Austin. Huh? Yeah, mine too. Arlington's another one. Albany, Charlotte is another one. And some of them are named like Alaska or Arizona. They're named because of that state or that place. Well, that's what happened with Havilah, where all the gold was good. Cush named one of his sons, Genesis 10:7. Genesis 10:7. And then Shem named one of his kids after Havilah, because after the flood, Havilah was gone. And the Garden of Eden, some say, was gone when Adam sinned, he was kicked out. So the Garden of Eden was gone before the flood came. So I thought that was pretty interesting. A lot of people do that today. They name their children after a place. Yeah. Italy. A lot of the streets in New Orleans are named after the children of, like, Dolphine was an illegitimate child of one of the kings. A lot of them are illegitimate. Contractors? That's interesting. Okay, let's see. Okay, and just a little comment here. The widespread belief that people evolved from ape-like ancestors is not only refuted by scripture, but also by all the facts of science. The missing link of Darwin's day, links, they're still missing. They always will be missing. They can't find them. And it's becoming, as science improves, it's becoming less or more assured that they won't find the links. Who's seen Tarzan? Who hasn't, right? Edgar Rice Burroughs' books and then became movies. Well, he was a evolutionist, and you can see it in the movies, kind of in the background. He was a Nazi. He believed in what the Nazis believed, and the Nazis believed what Darwin believed. So there's nothing new, and Nazis believed what Karl Marx believed. Okay, verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Eve, the final act of creative work, man especially, was incomplete without woman. I heard this preacher say, yeah, a woman was brought forth, formed, and man was complete. And he says, and he was finished. I'm saying that a bunch of girls there. I thought it was pretty good. And sometimes my wife does, I think that way. He's finished. Okay. Man especially was incomplete without woman, and this was not good. This does not mean it was evil, but only that it was unfinished and therefore imperfect. God himself therefore said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Therefore, God set about to make an helpmeet for man. And literally, it means a helper like man, as he has personally formed man's body, so he would set about personally to form woman's body. Furthermore, he would do this by a remarkable method rich in symbolic meaning, which neither man nor the woman would ever forget. Verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see with what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and all the fowl and all the air and every beast, every beast of the field. And but for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet. So, again, now, Adam named all the creatures, you know, and if you can imagine, yeah, we're on page 11. We're just starting on 11, brother. If you can imagine, Adam starting in the morning, and he's naming this, the hippopotamus, and then he's got the elephant, and then toward the end of the day, he's kind of tired, and he says, dog, cat. Bird, he's just torn. He's just naming those, whatever comes out, the shortest words to say, he's just tired. So that's just me. That's right. Then it says here, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. 1 Timothy 2:13. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. 1 Corinthians 11:8. All other men have been born of woman, but the first woman was made from man. It is significant that the first human institution established by God was that of marriage. The long period of human infancy and helplessness requires careful protection and training of the children by their parents. In his wisdom, God ordained that the home built on the mutual love and respect of husband and wife should be the basic human unit of authority and instruction. Amen to that. That's one thing that Satan has attacked, was this basic unit of the family, of the marriage. That again, that thing we're watching Made, you know, Netflix. I can only watch so much because I've done a lot of counseling with couples and women in rehabs, and so they remind me of these girls and irresponsible. And so God ordained the home, as it says there, like I just, I was sitting on my porch one day, and Carol and I were watching these two eggs that were in a pot, in a plant on our porch. And we could watch them. I'm out there one morning drinking my coffee. Then all of a sudden, I see these little birds jump out. And their mama or whatever, daddy, kind of kicked them out out of the pot. So they was on a table, and they just stood there. And that mama kind of looked at them and kicked them out a little bit more. They were on the ground. And they started walking around and trying to fly. And they didn't get 30 feet. And they were starting to fly. I mean, you're out of the egg and you're on with life. Well, humans aren't that way. They need a lot of TLC and from the beginning, as soon as they're born. And it takes a while for them to grow and mature. What I noticed in counseling, in rehab, mostly it's drugs, alcohol, whatever, lifestyles. But these guys, mostly with men, that they never got off the street corner. When they started getting in trouble, they stopped maturing as a man. And there's.
When you're doing something like that, you're not experiencing life.
Right. That's right. They go in their hiding place. And they stop growing. They stop growing mature. The maturing, they turn their back on God. They turn their back on, and it's demonstrated in their family, in their relationships. And so that's basically what I see, is that these guys stop growing spiritually, mentally, not physically. I've had a lot of mothers I've talked to. I said, oh, my son took off, and he's in jail. I said, oh, well, how old is he? Oh, he's 45. I said, oh. Well, then I tell her, you know.
Have you ever read the book, Down the Yellow Brick Road? Down the Yellow Brick Road. Have you ever read that book?
No, I've heard the song.
It's the guy that...
Smart Alec, I know.
It's the guy that helped Cameron's daughter get off a drug. And I had a brother that was an addict. And it explained to me, I never looked at it this way, that he stopped maturing. And when I thought about that, reading the book, I said, that's why he's like he is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's something that most people don't know.
No, they don't. No. No, they don't. And but it, the way that, and the only way that a person is going to be helped is for them to surrender to Christ. That's the only way. Or they can go through programs, they can go through AA and abstain from whatever, but for freedom and to grow and to mature, they have to have an encounter with Christ and surrender to him. Miss Lou. Miss Lou, come up here. Well, you already did. I made sure you disturbed everybody. I made sure. You should have told me you didn't want to disturb everybody. I wouldn't have brought attention. I know. Come on. We expect you to show up and...
But you know what I did?
What?
I've been studying your word all morning.
Amen.
That's what I've been doing.
Well,
that's what kept me.
Well, you're going to have to study. We got two pages you missed, so you're going to have to go home and do some more. We're on page 3, and we're discussing how immature people are when they turn their back on God. And they get in. Okay. And so you was talking about your brother, and what happened? He's not living?
No.
Okay.
He doesn't got permission for that. But, you know, he was baptized as a child and went to church periodically through his life, but he really sought God those last 2 years.
Amen. Awesome.
Oh, I don't know what I couldn't hear what she was saying, but it, whatever it is, it hurts.
You knew that, huh? Page
you
11.
See it in my face.
Yeah, it is. Page 11.
Pardon?
Page 11.
Okay, page 11.
Yes, ma'am.
We're really way off in here.
Yes, ma'am. Look, you want me to call you up in the morning and make sure you get here on time?
Pardon?
Go ahead. You want me to call you up in the morning and make sure? Help?
It's not, I don't get up. I've been up since early. So
oh.
It's that as soon as I get up, I'm used to studying. And
oh.
So I went in the kitchen, I sat down with a cup of coffee, and I was studying
wow.
your words.
And
the beginning of, you know, of what you started with.
Right.
And
right.
I saw, and it takes me a while to study.
Well, you do pretty thorough.
And I don't, you know, pass. I mean, I need to know exactly what you're saying. I was studying the names of God. I was looking for some personal name that I like.
What personal name you like?
Yahweh.
Yahweh?
Uh-huh.
We were talking about personal names. You missed it. But
were you?
No. Well, yeah, we was talking about how Cush and Shem named one of their children Havilah. And that was the land that before the flood that was filled with gold and was beautiful and everything else. Well, okay, we're right here. The way in which God made the first woman, excuse me, the way in which God made the first woman is certainly not what one would naturally expect. It would seem rather that he would form her body in the same way he did Adam's, directly out of the earth itself. But instead, he built her out of the body of Adam, and Adam's life would become her life. Verse 21 and 22, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto man. This is a quote from Matthew Henry, 1500 preacher. Eve was not taken out of Adam's head to top him, neither out of his feet to be trampled on by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected by him, and near his heart to be loved by him. That's pretty, huh?
I like that, and near his heart to be loved by him.
Yes, ma'am.
That was for something good, huh?
Yes, ma'am. In what sense did the Lord God take one of Adam's sides? A side would include both flesh and bone as well as blood. Released from the open side, Adam could later say, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Physiologically, it is significant that both bone and flesh in the human body are sustained by blood, and the marvelous blood pumping and circulatory network designed by God. The blood carries the necessary oxygen and other chemicals from the air and food taken in by man to maintain all the substance and functions of the body. In fact, the very life of the flesh, literally the soul of the flesh, is in the blood, Genesis 9:4, Leviticus 17:11. Now, let's read a little bit further. I don't want to go into this too much. We're getting late. It says, these thoughts, of course, immediately remind us again of the one whose side was pierced on Calvary as he entered the deep sleep of death, of whose body not a bone was broken, but from whose side but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, forthwith came there out blood and water. I never really noticed that, but that Eve was taken from the side of Adam, and one of the wounds that Jesus encountered was a spear to the side, and out came blood and water. And just how deep and complete Satan tried to destroy mankind, and how Satan failed, and Jesus Christ was victorious for mankind, man and woman. It's just beautiful. So is there any questions or comments? I want to stop there because he really goes into it beautifully, I think. And we'll pick it up there. I stapled something else. My handiwork isn't too handy. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll go ahead and any comments? Okay. Listen, I want you all to pray about something. I've been praying about it, thinking about it. Is incorporating or advertising or letting people know about our Sunday school class in an emphasis of recovery, that I believe AA has AA, and then they got NA and SA and TA and all. But we know that man and woman are addicted to sin, and how it gets out of control, we can't differentiate. I mean, it's Some people are addicted to alcohol. Some people are addicted to drugs. Some people are addicted to relationships. Some people are addicted to this, that, and the other, to work. And so I gambling, you know. And so there's a lot of things that people look at our sheriff for so many years and his addiction of that perversion. So I'd like y'all to pray about it, and if there's any concern, I'd like to know. And so I'd like to – what do y'all think of that? And just in inviting folks that have a recovery problem. I call it recovery. I'm in recovery. I've had so much sin I'm addicted to. I don't, you know, I could probably put a few of them up there. I have. So it's sin. I don't mean to make light of sin, but I don't like people to be categorized and set aside and you're the special case. When the same Savior saves the same way, and I was working at North Shore Psych, and I was in social services, and this girl comes up to me. She says, I need my meds. And I said, why? Why you need your meds? She says, well, because I'm an addict. I'm a born addict, and there's no hope for me. I need my meds. And so, and that's where they get that mindset that they can't be helped. They were born addicts, and they're stuck in that. But we're all born addicts. We're all addicted to sin, and they ain't none of us going to stop sinning until we go to be with the Lord. And that's as simple as that. But to grow spiritually, you will realize that the Holy Spirit has control over your flesh. And so that you don't have to be controlled by that flesh, that addiction. And that's what it's all about. So any comments? Any discussion? Any?
It's a lot of prayer. It's a lot of prayer, a lot of giving God a lot of your attention to really overcome these things, because I was adding myself a lot of many things, money, drugs, selling drugs. Women, it's ongoing. And it took me a while for God to snatch everything from me to really get my attention. He had snatched everything from my family, everything. And thank God, like my doctor said, he's surprised I'm going to help my men by doing the drugs I've done all my life. I started cocaine for 35 years of my life and sold drugs all the time. As I was a young man, I was in church, in the Catholic Church. I've seen a lot of different things with priests and nuns, and, you know, and it was heaven for the Catholic Church. And I was exposed to a lot. My parents did great, gave big parties, you know, and the aunties and uncles would come in and eat different other than, you know, meeting places. I was exposed to a lot of stuff that made me the way I was. Jewelry, the main coats, the money, and I wanted all those things as being a young boy. The sex, the drugs, just the money. And it took all that to get the money. That was all my attention. That's what lured me off. But here I am now, a changed person.
Amen. Because of Jesus. Because of the Lord, huh?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Ma'am.
My granddaughter.
Okay. Let's pray for her. And pray for those that are struggling, and that they might know Him, Jesus,
right,
our Creator, as you and others know.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I just pray for our fellowship and what we just discussed, and your word, and how wonderfully you explain how you created everything, and how much you love us, and how well we have it. And the more I know, the more that we know you and understand you and understand your love and the fellowship and the closeness that you want to have with us, the more free we will be in from this sin and our bondage of our flesh, let's just say. And I pray for Brother Robert again. I pray for him to successfully go through this surgery. And I do pray for our fellowship that you open the doors up, Father, and you bring folks in that we can minister to through your word and your way. And I pray for the services to follow. I pray, Father, for those that don't know you personally or those that need to know you better, like we all do, will come to that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ma'am?
Because of the free interstate.